Hello and welcome to D-Loaded, the Loaded Nates, we usually record a few days after the game, so I've had some time to process, have some somber reflections about it all. Couldn't really be bothered this week.
No, I've been in full rant mode, actually.
You've been on every Facebook page.
Pretty much, yeah. I've been blowing every up WhatsApp Twitter. Group. I've been trolling everyone. Yeah, that's been me. Yeah. It was a disaster. It was an unmitigated disaster. They had
but
two
it's also
players
such a
down.
Predictable disaster.
So predictable. I remember posting one of my various WhatsApp groups that this had all the makings of a very disappointing Melbourne loss. You know, like the Swans had been playing garbage really for the past month or so. They lost to Gold Coast. You know, they barely got over the line against Collingwood, who were very undermanned. They, you know, lost two players at the start of the game.
Two of their defenders. We're meant to be the most potent scoring team in the AFL.
And yet they lost two defenders and we still managed to lose. It was awful. It really was. The forward 50 efficiency was deplorable.
I think we won inside 50s by 17.
Yeah, and they cannot hit a target inside 50 and they cannot convert.
Yeah.
It's really just a disgrace. But, you know, I mean, I'm just not really sure what the big positives are out of that game.
Oh, I didn't think there really are any positives.
Yeah, I agree.
It was just a really
Harmsy, I love Chompers, but his positivity after the game in the post-match interview on the Melbourne website was a bit misguided, I think.
Yeah, maybe keep away from the press conference.
Yeah, I think so. Ripping blow, but no one wants to hear what the positive thing takeaways are from this game because from our perspective, there really aren't many.
I mean, if you told us at the start of the game that Franklin would only get two goals, I would think we'd probably win fairly comfortably.
Right, but then all of their small, like, you know, it's just Papley and the Haywoods of this world, and even like Tom McCartan, they're just so much more composed than our players, really.
Yeah.
It was quite shocking.
Ugh. So, the question for you, Neets, and I know your answer to this.
Yeah.
Are we mentally weak?
Incredibly. I think that there is a real, and you don't like me saying this, but there's a real culture problem at the club. It's like a loser's culture.
Thanks, Caro.
No, I know it sounds like Caro, but it's true here. And like there's certain clubs which just have winning cultures. Like the Swans will just always back themselves in those positions, right? Like Geelong, like Hawthorn, they just know what to do when they're in these positions. They don't cough up these types of leads. Like even in the first quarter, we could have been. We squandered so many opportunities in the first quarter. It was like 25-7 or something at one point. And we could have really been up to like 40-7, really, given how well we were playing. But
Very easy shots.
It was atrocious. But, you know, these types of clubs just have good cultures. And look, I don't know what Rusey was doing at the Demons, but he certainly didn't bring the Bloods culture to Melbourne because I just think that we're super mentally weak, particularly against good teams.
I mean, the simple truth is, you can't make the finals if you're 0-7 against the top.
No, not at all. I mean, so we really don't deserve to be. What did it last year?
Sure.
But, you know.
Maybe you technically can.
Maybe you technically can. If we'd beaten St Kilda, we absolutely would make it. But I think the reality is we're just not good enough because if you cannot beat a team within the top eight, like at all, you know, there's really not much else to say.
And the problem for so many years is we find it so difficult to win games we should win.
Yeah.
And even in this game, like
we
several other
so
games this season.
Widely tipped.
Right. And, well, we play well when we're coming from behind. So in this game, we're down by 30 points.
And then
suddenly
all of a sudden, they clicked in together.
That was the same in the St Kilda game that we lost. That was the same in the first Geelong game that we lost. You know, and that's why I think we actually have a chance against West Coast.
Because
no one expects us to win. We're on the road. It's actually quite possible that they'll get over the line.
Don't think so. I think that this team is just shot, honestly. The character of the team has really got to come under some scrutiny because they just, I mean, the goal kicking is appalling. It's so bad. And just the kicking inside 50. I mean, we don't want to bring this up again, but ultimately, Watts, right? I mean, look, Watts hasn't been setting the world on fire at East Port Adelaide at all.
That's an understatement.
But the one thing you can always say about Watts is that he can kick goals and that he's a good finisher. And right now, all we needed was someone to be a good finisher. Literally, on two or three occasions, all we needed was for them to finish.
Right. And it looks a lot worse when Milkshakes is out.
Correct.
Because
exactly.
Milkshakes has probably taken on Watts' role to some extent.
Correct. And just kicking inside 50. Right. It looked awful, honestly. Well, it was just, and some of the shots directly in front, it was just extraordinary.
Well, can I tell you my theory? So you have said that the problem is mental fragility. And maybe
it's just a loser's culture, I think.
There is that.
They can't get past it. I think they just think they're going to lose. I think they think they're not going to kick the winning goal.
But I think that's true to some extent, but I don't think it's just that. I think as a club, we've consistently devalued the importance of skill.
Yeah, definitely.
So the players that are missing these goals, I don't think it's just necessarily that they're choking. It's just that they're not very reliable shots on goal. I mean, Hogan has been a poor shot for goal since he started at the club.
But he had his time. I mean, he's sort of gone up and down.
You look at his routine, and it looks shocking, right? You look at the way Spargo missing that goal. I think that's a mental thing.
Spargo, you know, I mean, he just might be a bit tired. Who knows about him? But like,
no, but like, you know,
clearly, but Petrarca missing. Petrarca's meant to be our most skillful player. And Brayshaw. Brayshaw's meant to be skillful as well. Why is he missing shots? Why is Oliver missing shots?
But let me ask you this.
This is a thing here. It's all very well to say, oh, you know, the skillful players, we don't have enough skill. The reality is the skillful players on the list are the ones who are missing shots.
No, but I disagree. Like, the players we would actually back to play well in the last quarter and kick these goals are players like Salem and Lewis. And they're not the ones who would let us down in the situation. It's the same cast of characters. I just don't think we have the level of skill which guards against any mental fragility, right? Because if you're uncertain, right, you need to be able to go back to your routine and be confident in your ability to finish.
And rely on that. Yeah,
see, I don't think a lot of these players have
that. But here's the thing, Kieran. This is why I sort of slightly disagree with you. I think that there is... I don't think it's just that we're not drafting enough skillful players. I honestly think it comes back to mental fragility. So this is going to sound like a really strange example, but when Fitzpatrick kicked the winning goal for Hawthorn, no one would have ever thought that Fitzpatrick at Melbourne would be the type of player to win a game off his own boot, right? But he managed to do it at Hawthorn. I know that was just a really random example, but I do think there is something about these clubs where they take players who might not necessarily be the most skillful. Like, look at Sydney and look at Hawthorn and look at Geelong. They pick, like, particularly Sydney, they pick these rookie-listed players who are kind of like the scraps of other clubs, really,
right,
and they turn them into players that can actually do something.
But
right?
How does that play out? Just Fitzpatrick standing there at 50 metres. He's like, wait a minute, I'm wearing a Hawthorn jacket.
No,
it's going through.
I don't know about that, but I just think there is definitely a team morale or a team culture issue where people just, you know, there's just a belief. I think there's a real lack of belief in the system for whatever reason. And I know that sounds a bit strange and far-fetched, but it just, people didn't think, the reason why Papley was sort of overlooked in the draft is because people didn't think he was skillful enough.
Right.
And then you look at him now at the Swans and you think, how can this kid ever have been overlooked? He's a gun and he's super skillful. But so I just don't know. I don't know if it's as simple as saying we're just not picking enough skillful players. I really think there is some mental element to it, and the culture of the club and the environment of the club isn't conducive to making people really believe that they can win a game.
Yeah, but then you look at a team like Richmond, right?
Two
years ago, people said Richmond was incredibly mentally fragile.
Yeah.
They were ninth
but
every year.
But that proves my culture point, right? Because otherwise, nobody thought that you should just get rid of Cochin.
But did Richmond's culture change so dramatically between the round 16 loss to St Kilda where they lost by 90 points?
I mean, that was just a bad loss. But every team has a bad loss.
No, but
this
culture thing, I'm just a bit skeptical of. Because often it's just these little margins, right? Let's say we'd beaten Geelong early in the season. Gorn had kicked that goal.
Yeah.
And let's just say we held on against Geelong in the second game, right?
Yeah.
Maybe someone screws up at some point. Zach Tui misses the goal, whatever.
Yeah.
Do we suddenly become a team with a good winning culture?
No, I don't
or
know.
Or is it just a little piece of luck?
Right.
Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. Clearly, our systems late in game are
just falling to pieces. I mean, Jimmy Bartel's commentary I thought was exceptional. I mean, particularly when Lewis kicked out of defence in that last roll of the dice. And I think I remember Jones had the ball in his hand. I just remember Bartel saying this was just entirely the wrong play. Like, that is not what you do if you're really trying to win a game.
Yeah.
You know?
What they did is they didn't have anyone close enough to the kicker to kick
exactly,
to. And then
exactly.
They went straight to the boundary.
Exactly. And got a stoppage, which is just not helpful.
Right.
You know? And it's just good teams with a winning culture, they really take the game on and they know how to win in those circumstances. And I just think that there is some problem mentally with this team.
So how do you fix this mental problem?
I mean,
is it like some
know.
Kind of a
just,
meditation
don't
retreat
know.
Or something?
Who knows?
Like?
I have no idea what they need to do, but there is obviously some type of epidemic because I wonder why it is that other clubs that are really, you know, like St Kilda have this problem as well. Their goal kicking is appalling.
But I think they've got an incredible paucity of skill. Can I tell you what I think would change all this?
But even people like Billings are missing. But Billings is like their most skillful player.
Yeah, but
he still can't goal kick.
But
I mean,
that's connected.
Point,
there's an
right?
enormous amount of pressure on Billings because he's one of the only bloody players who can kick it. To be the guy. I think if we get another good quality user of the ball in the midfield, that would fix an enormous amount of
problems. This is a nature versus nurture question, and I really don't think we lost today's game. I've been having arguments with people on WhatsApp about this, but I don't think we lost today's game because of, you know, poor drafting. I mean, obviously our defence is really injured. Obviously we've got, you know, problems in terms of outside speed. We didn't lose the game because of that. We lost the game because we had so many opportunities inside 50, but ultimately people just panicked and didn't have the calmness of mind or like the inner peace. I don't know, it's sort of getting all a bit like sort of philosophical, but they didn't have the sort of mental toughness to be able to shoot that, kick that goal. And the best example of that is someone like Jack Viney wouldn't have missed those shots, because Jack Viney, I think, really seizes the moment, even though he's probably the worst kick out of those players.
Yeah.
I think he really sees, you know, seizes the moment and knows how to go back and slot them.
Well, tell me on Viney, next question. Should he be the sole captain next year?
You know, I hate all this sort of like people just early retiring Jones, because I think that's a really horrible thing.
No one's retiring Jones.
No, I know. But, you know, the first problem with Viney is that he needs to get out of the park. So, quite frankly, I mean, I don't even think we should be thinking about whether or not Viney should be a sole captain until we can figure out what's wrong with his foot.
Right. But one point I think we both felt watching the game,
and it's a complete dearth of leaders.
Yeah, and you don't want to overread the whole Jones thing. Like, he had a bad game. He had some pretty bad turnovers.
He had some pretty poor turnovers. I mean, just remember.
But it's more like, as you've mentioned, like sometimes older players drop off really quickly.
Yeah,
right? That's what Juddy said at the end of his
career.
Yeah,
they're all of a sudden out of nowhere, it just crept up on him, and he just couldn't do the things that he thought he could do before.
And the thing with Jones is, as far as I can tell, he wasn't really in the centre bounce much at all. He's been playing on the wing. And it's fine, but really, I think you want your captain in the centre, in the main bounce, you know, at the crucial moments, right?
Yeah.
And Jones is, you know, he's obviously lost a bit of pace. His kicking isn't as precise as it used to be. I think he still will be in the team next year. But you look at our midfield, right, particularly if Viney comes back in.
Yeah.
Right, you have Oliver, you have Petrarca, you have Brayshaw, you have Viney, you have Harms.
He played a ripper of a game, by the way.
He played a phenomenal game.
Awesome.
But you have those five players rotating through. Maybe you have Tyson, maybe you don't. And then where does Jones really fit in?
Yeah.
Like, he's probably slid to the bottom of that pack. Is that unreasonable?
It's a really sad sort of reality, to be honest. And it's a bit sort of bit heartbreaking for all Melbourne supporters, you know, because we just love Jones so much. And I just want so much for his career.
Right. I mean, we're never going to drop him. I mean, I don't care if he's sitting in the forward pocket in 2020 when we win a premiership.
It really doesn't matter. Yeah. He's just the heart and soul of the club. You know, it's a really interesting question, because we had a discussion about this, and we should talk about this, but the Alex Johnson injury was just heartbreaking. You know, that was just, I remember watching it and almost like crying myself. It was just devastating, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, because in so many ways, you know, we're not sure obviously what's going to happen with Alex Johnson's career at this point. But if he, you know, if he retires now after sort of with staring out of the barrel of a sixth knee reconstruction, you look at his career and it's kind of like the exact opposite of Jones's, you know, and you sort of sit there thinking, which one would you prefer? You know, you've got Alex Johnson, who played 47 games, played in a premiership, was great in that premiership year and played a really important role in that premiership year. And so has only really ever, like, has experienced the lows in terms of not being able to play as many games, but has experienced the ultimate success. And then you've got someone like Jones, who's never really experienced any success, has played 250 games, an incredibly losing team.
Yeah.
And
hasn't played a final in 12 years.
And look, with the way we're going at the moment, might not play a final this year.
Yeah.
And you sort of sit there thinking, like, you know, whose career would you prefer? Would you prefer the sort of, you know, ultimate high and the ultimate sort of success even after 47 games? Or would you prefer the 250 of not, you know, pure mediocrity, really, to say it at the least?
Yeah.
But I guess the longevity of the game, who knows?
The thing about Alex Johnson, though, is unlike some other 47-game players who have retired, he's had his own version of longevity, right?
Right.
The fact that he's come back again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And so I think he'll be seen in a particular way that a lot of players who don't play very long won't
will be seen,
right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been other players like Mitch Morton, who didn't play that many games, and he got a premiership.
Morton, that's true.
Or like Stephen Armstrong, who played for West Coast. And they got premierships, but I don't think they'd necessarily look back on their career that fondly. Obviously, they'd love the premiership.
Yeah.
Johnson's a bit of an interesting one because he has the club stuff and he also has the ultimate
success. Oh, he obviously must just be a great person. I mean, even watching him on the bench and just the way he was getting around all these teammates, it was just, God, it was just heartbreaking. I like the way the Goodwin started by sort of sending the club's well wishes to AJ as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
His press conference. But that's devastating. Anyway, so I'm not sure about the Jones-Viney captaincy issue. Personally, I honestly think that they should just worry about Viney's foot and then think about any, you know, potential changes in leadership after that. Maybe Max Gawn should be the captain of the club next year.
Maybe.
That's potentially the solution.
I mean, that would be a bit of a change of pace.
I mean, a little bit.
Kick in the face to Viney.
Well, you know, ultimately, he's got to get his body right before he starts thinking about leadership. He needs to focus on himself right now and getting back in the team.
Right. Well, let's talk about your man, Simon Goodwin.
Yeah.
We're
best coach ever.
A little bit better.
So look, I really think that a good replacement for Simon Goodwin will be Jimmy Bartel. I just loved his comments.
You already moved to replacements.
Yeah, I've already moved to replacements. I'm quick like that. Everyone's been like, yeah, moaning about the loss. I've already been thinking about who Goodwin's going to be replaced with. But do you think Bartel's comments were actually very sensible, particularly in terms of how we can set up
defensively? Next to the Spuds, BT, and Water.
He's amazing. Bartel's great. He's so reasonable as well.
He's really clever, yeah.
So, look, so much pressure is on Goodwin right now. I'm sorry. Goodwin, and also, as much as I love Goodwin's can-do spirit, and we'll get them next time, guys. Hopefully we'll get the chocolates then. It's, you know, not filling me with much confidence.
Right.
He really does not... He doesn't have an answer as to why they can't beat a team in the top eight. He doesn't have an answer as to why the team breaks down defensively and why teams get this run on. He's got no answers.
Right. And I think the challenge for Goodwin when evaluating him is clearly the team is improving and has an enormous amount of talent. But how much credit should he get for that? And can it be accelerated?
I think minimal.
Right?
Honestly, I really think that if Clarko was coaching this team, we would be miles ahead of where we already are. Like, look at Clarko's taking a team which last year looked completely shot. Just completely and utterly shot.
But I don't think Clarko is a fair parallel. It's like saying, if you take the best coach of all time, would that make our team better?
No, I mean, obviously. But it's just, I just think there is so much talent in this team, and it is so untapped, and I just don't think that, I'm not having much faith in Goodwin, really. He cannot fix the fundamental problem that we've had all year.
Right.
Which is the defense breaking down and teams getting a run on. He can't fix it. And also bad goal kicking. And inefficient forward entries.
Right. But look, I mean, having said that, as we've discussed, the Tom McDonald move up forward is really his thing.
Yeah, that's his thing.
And so that was a big advance. You could say, I mean, we are still, I think, the highest scoring team. So despite our breakdowns...
We're flat-track bullies, though, right? Yeah. I mean, we're just complete flat-track bullies.
I feel like we're not exploiting Gorn's dominance enough.
Not at all. I mean, Gorn had so many hit... I mean, even though he was really injured today, he had so many hit-outs.
Yeah.
And it was just going all to waste.
Right. I think the clearances were even in the end.
Yeah, and I just think that he got out-coached today, Simon Goodwin. Yeah. By John Longmire. This is a very positive podcast, isn't it? Which is like a lot of negativity. But
well, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, he's clearly going to survive till next year.
Do you think so?
Oh, no question.
Do you think there is any doubt that they would just go, you know what, like this team needs to be a lot better than it is, and Glenn Bartlett says we're just going to get rid of him?
No. It would only be, I think, if someone like Clarkson suddenly became available. In that case, great, but it's not going to happen. I think he'll be fine. The truth is, we could still make the finals this year. There's a real pathway where we make the finals despite losing the next two games.
Really? What's that pathway?
Absolutely. The pathway is if North loses to Adelaide,
right,
which is very plausible.
Maybe.
And then they win their last game, we'll be ahead of North on percentage.
Yeah.
And then if Port loses to Collingwood and if Port loses to Essendon, I believe, all these results are very plausible.
Yeah, but the point is Goodwin just, you know... This is why I have no time for Goodwin. He said that this wasn't going to happen again this year. He said that they weren't going to sit there relying upon other results to go in their favour. And that's exactly what is happening right now.
Right.
Because I just cannot see a world in which we're going to beat the Eagles next week, or GWS. Especially because the way we were bombing along, I was just sitting there thinking, Jeremy McGovern would eat this up for breakfast. If they're getting beaten by, like, Aaliyah is a good player and he's playing really well, but Jeremy McGovern is next level.
Right.
If you're bombing into the Eagles, like into the forward line like that, the Eagles defenders are awesome. Hearn and McGovern will absolutely eat those balls up, eat those balls for breakfast, if that makes any sense. They'll eat the balls for breakfast. You know what I'm trying to say.
On that front, can we talk a little bit about Jesse Hogan?
Yeah.
What did you make of his game?
You know, this is the thing. If he kicked those two really bad misses, then you go, that's actually a great game. He's got three goals and 22 possessions, and it's a great game. He had good body language, everything. But then, you know,
he's just not executing the fundamental skill.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened. I really don't know what's happened. Maybe, I think he apparently is quite injured at the moment, but...
Oh, then don't play him. I mean, I know. I'm just so tired of this.
I know,
right?
I don't know what they're going to do. But they can't really not play him, right? They don't really have any other options, you know? And
his goal kicking, I mean... I know, he's missing. Is that really like an injury-based thing, missing from 20 metres out?
I mean, no, but you can't just play... Tom McDonald was also missing from like... You know, I mean, Tom McDonald's meant to be our most reliable set.
But Tom McDonald also kicked a couple of clutch goals later in the game.
He did kick a couple of clutch goals. I mean, some of the Jesse kicks were just really bad. But, I mean, Brayshaw missed. You know, it's just everybody's missing. Petrarca missed. Oliver slipped over in the most un-Oliver fashion I've seen in a while, you know. And he missed an easy shot. Like, it's just, what can you really do? They're all playing badly. I think, really, though, the person I was most disappointed with today had to be Alex Neil-Bullen. He was really bad.
Yeah, he was shocking. But I would argue Garlett was worse.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
Particularly with Nick Smith down.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. I mean, but the, our small ball is playing the forward line as well. But the the thing that...
In fact, all our small forwards all of our small forwards garbage. Were garbage. Spargo was very poor.
Yeah, yeah. But you sort of forgive Spargo, right? Like, I mean, maybe he's mentally weak, but he's also like a first-year
he's
player.
He's mentally weak. What does Spargo do?
No, but maybe... Because he can't kick clutch goals either. But maybe he's, you know... But he's a first-year player, you know? Maybe I'm being taken too many pot shots at people on this podcast.
Let's talk about one little upside. The Rowan Bale Award for most underrated performance.
Oh, Aaron Vandenberg. Yeah. It was so great to see him out there. That was awesome.
He showed a bit of that contested marking.
Yeah,
he's
a great mark. And, you know, he kicked three goals. Good, you know.
That long goal was great.
Yeah, the long goal was awesome. He had a great game. So I was very happy with Aaron Vandenberg. So he definitely wins the Rowan Bale Award for underrated performance this week.
Exactly. And he keeps a spot and he added something.
For sure.
Yeah. Needs the West Coast game.
Yeah.
Which... Once again, it's our biggest game in a year, like every other game.
Yeah.
Changes?
Yeah, so hopefully Milkshakes and Pig will come back in.
That'd be huge.
That'd be huge. And then we can get rid of, I mean, who would we get
rid of? I mean, Hunt is going out no matter what.
Right, so Hunt's
out. So if Hunt goes out, Hibbert would come in for him. If not, you'd have to think about Wagner again, surely.
I guess. What about Pedersen? I know you love him, Kieran, but I'm just not sure if he's necessarily what we need.
Well, look,
West Coast at this time of year.
I was intrigued to see him in defence because they've been trying it for the last few weeks. I'm not convinced by him in defence. I never was years ago when they tried it. I'm still not. He's not quite quick enough. I think he looks a little bit lost in defence.
Yeah.
I think he looked a lot better in the forward line. He took a couple of nice contested marks. I think there's maybe a role for him in the forward line. I don't know if it is next week, but there is a role for him.
Potentially. I don't know if they'll play him next week.
He played very well against West Coast last year when we had that amazing win.
He did.
And he, like, unlike Hogan, I think he's more of a contested marking threat, right?
Yeah.
The problem is he doesn't use the ball as well when he gets it. So, look, Pedersen is definitely in some trouble. I think Garlett or Spargo or both and Kennedy Harris. I mean, there's so many options.
Just take your pick, really, about who to get dropped.
I would drop, honestly. Well.
This is the thing. Do you bring back Bug? He played really well in the VFL. I mean, I'm not really that big a fan of it. I'm glad they didn't bring back Bug this week because that would have just been a disaster against the Swans. I feel like if you really want any more of a reason to... I mean, but you were
Alex
saying...
Alex Johnson down, oh my Bug God, in.
Bug in.
How much motivation do you need?
Exactly. I mean, it really is true. How much more motivation do you need for the Swans? They would have won by 50 points if Bug was in.
Yeah.
And Bug would have ended up, you know, completely Polak. So
right.
I kind of think that it was good that they didn't bring back Bug for this game. But potentially next week?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've written off Bug's career many times. the one thing I'll say about Bug is he gets opportunities.
Is he a converter? Is he going to fix the conversion problems that we had this week?
Probably not, but he's kicked four goals twice this year. I mean, you know, Spargo I've liked. I think he's a very neat player. I think he used the ball well, but he's not hitting the scoreboard that much.
He's just got little legs, unfortunately.
He does. He can't get more than 45 metres.
I know.
Kennedy Harris is okay. He had a nice pass, but he's not. Doesn't really get into it enough.
No, I know.
I would try, at a minimum, I'd try Kent. I think Kent was good when he played with us, got injured. I think he deserves to come back in.
The problem is as well, you can't just keep, we've got so many chops. We're chopping and changing every week, and this is not a very stable team. So that's the problem as well.
I mean, that's the problem.
Some of it is injuries, but
we're just not convinced about any of the options.
We're just not convinced.
So you can't blame the coaching staff for
exactly,
rotating.
Yeah, exactly, because what are they meant to do?
I would say across this year, if you look at our 10 small forwards, there's actually 10 small forwards, we counted them before, I would say Kent provided the most in the
I agree with that. I like Kent. I've always been a fan of Kent.
Yeah.
I think he's got a real career ahead of him. But, you know, just pick your poison.
So maybe Kent in for Garlett, maybe Bug in for Spargo. I don't know. And Ped, I don't really know what you do with Ped. Do we have any chance of winning?
Zero.
No, I mean,
this
we
is,
have
I said last. No, we have none. I said
the
last
Eagles
week.
The Eagles don't have that much to play for.
I said last week that it would be a miracle if we beat the Swans. And you laughed at me.
I said we'd lose
and you admonished
me. No,
but you
miracle.
Said, yeah, I'm telling you now, it will be a miracle if Melbourne make the finals now.
Right.
They are playing so badly against top eight sides. They've got no mental stability or mental.
I think it's a miracle. When you're on 13 wins with high percentage, it's not a miracle.
12 wins.
13 wins.
As in, we need to win one more game for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And we've got West Coast in Perth and GWS. And even though they're injury ravaged, the one thing they can do is they've got elite foot skills and they can run better than us. So, look, I honestly think it's a miracle. I don't think we're going to make the finals. I think, you know, all is probably going to be quite lost.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very tough. I mean, A big question will be if Kennedy comes back in.
Yeah.
I think that'll stretch us to breaking point.
Oh, we'll be done and dusted then. I mean, the interesting thing is I've actually already started thinking about what they're going to do in the off-season. Because what are they going to do about this team?
Oh, that's where you're at.
Right? Yeah, I've actually already moved past. Yeah, I actually just think, I honestly, because I think it's, I just think this season is shot. I think any chance of this season was lost today.
Okay, because I was going to talk about the Mark Hutchings matchup on Glenn Oliver. Oh, no interest in that?
No. Well, I just think, what are you meant to say? That's true. Hutchings will get the better of Oliver. Like, you've got, let's have a look at the rest of the West Coast midfield. Shuey, no, even without Gaff, you've got Shuey. You've got, who are the other kids?
I reckon you could put Harms on Shuey, and Harms' running ability will give him a decent shot.
Yeah, who else? What are the other key matchups?
I mean, I don't know.
Jesse on McGovern?
Yeah, look, that's not ideal.
Yeah, let's talk about the rest of it.
Tom McDonald dominated last year.
Yeah.
And McGovern was in the team.
No one was really paying him any attention, though.
He kicked, like, what, five goals, six
goals?
Yeah, but
nobody, at some point, maybe eventually, yeah. But
and Jesse wasn't even playing. In fact, Tom McDonald was our only four. Yeah, he was. I think he was being paid attention to. I don't think that's the issue. I think we have a chance if Kennedy's not playing. I mean, Darling, you put Frost on him, maybe. I mean, Frost was okay this week.
I mean, I think the scoreboard really flattered Frost, to be honest.
But he had a good first half.
He had a good first half. He had this really good tackle on Buddy, which we were all very proud of. So that was something.
Yeah. Look, their midfield is weakened now because of Gaff.
I mean, they still managed to beat Port at home. Yeah. Like, this team is doing really well. They seem to
be. But they shouldn't have really won that game. That was pretty lucky.
That was insane, yeah.
And Port had an enormous amount of injuries as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not quite as pessimistic about as you. I think we do have a real chance. I think we have an enormous amount to play for. Obviously, the Eagles want top two, but they can get that by beating Brisbane next week.
Well, they've already got top two, I think, so not.
But they could lose it if they lose both games.
Oh, I see.
So, but I mean, I think they'll get it. So, I don't know. I'm going to say that I reckon this is going to be super close. I just don't think we quite have the polish up forward line to win, so I think we're going to lose by like a kick or so. But honestly, this is the unusual prediction.
Do you think that finals this year will all come down to round 23 again?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Which is extraordinary. But I think 12 months ago, they said that wouldn't happen. That was meant to be the line of the sand moment where that wasn't going to happen again.
Right.
But it's all going to come down to round 23.
It might also come down to North Melbourne, Adelaide. Let's not forget that.
Well, again, we're relying on another team to lose, sure. Which is appalling, which makes me think this entire season is a waste.
Right.
And with that, those optimistic final words, we'd like to leave you for another week of Dear Living.
Neets is going to go sit in a dark room and reflect on the challenges of the situation.
Yeah, basically. Do you know what? I'm giving people the home truths that they want to hear. No one wants to hear your optimism.
That's true.
People want to hear pot shots.
It's not even optimism. It's just different variety of pot shots.
People want to hear pot shots, okay? I'm giving the people what they want, Kieran.
All right, we'll have a poll. Do people want pot shots?
People are angry. People are banging for blood. I think you haven't read the Melbourne Football Club forums recently.
That's true. That's very
people
true.
Are really banging for blood.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining Deluded again.
Sorry it was a bit morose.
We'll be back after the West Coast game, we think. Until then, go D's.
Go D's!